And good Saturday afternoon, everybody out there in Radio Land. You're listening to Upstate Outdoors on 106.3 WORD. I'm Philip Gentry, along with Tommy Springer.
Woo! Mayor of Moore, once again.
Congratulations, by the way.
You're welcome. And thanks for all the votes that I collected as the Soil and Water Commissioner. I had no idea, and I knew I had not a prayer with running up against the great Bobby Mack. Yeah. He slings mud with the best of them.
There you go.
Congratulations to him.
Awesome. We got a great show. Speaking of outdoors, we got a great show coming up for you today. If you're a deer hunter, wrote this blog for you in the Upstate Outdoors blog. You ever heard of the lockdown?
Oh, yeah. It's happening about right now.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Or night prowler, one of the two.
Night prowler, yeah. So we'll go into more detail and tell you about the phase of the rut that's known as the lockdown if you're in a deer hunting stand. It's if you're a deer, it's known as the bow-chicka-wow-wow.
Wang dang!
Yeah, that's it.
I will not finish the rest of that.
There are a lot of different names for it, but
Wango Tango.
That's
whatever.
It.
Oh my goodness!
And then we're going to talk to our buddy, our good friend from Carolina Farm and Wildlife Supply out in Pauline, South Carolina, Mr. Bart Littlejohn. We'll have him on the show and talk about a lot of stuff coming up. I actually texted Bart and said, "Is it trapping season?
Yeah,
opens November 1st." He said, "No, it's December 1st."
Okay.
But if you're an outdoor, you know, a lot of people thinking about deer hunting, and duck hunting will be open next weekend.
I thought it was this weekend.
No.
Wow.
Next weekend.
Okay.
And
I don't know what they were shooting at before they died down on the river this morning.
Yeah.
No. I'm serious. Yeah. I mean, they were hammering them, dude. Whatever.
Maybe somebody got their calendar mixed up.
Hope they didn't get that information from us.
Yeah. Now you got me kind of thinking. I'm like, wait a minute.
I don't know, man. I mean, they lit them up this morning.
I know it wasn't, because I would the guys around my deer club,
right.
I would have heard them. They'd go off like clockwork.
Maybe they just went off on some sky carp. I don't know.
Maybe they were practicing.
Maybe.
Well, even the sky carp season's not open yet.
I'm just telling you what I heard this
Maybe
morning.
We'll have a segment on today's show about what seasons are open.
Okay, I'm just saying, I'm just going by what I heard when I let the dogs out, and it's right at that peak time, just before day, right at daylight.
Maybe, I don't know. I will see if I can find an answer for it. Might have been late does. Maybe the late dove season opened.
No, that was that familiar.
That familiar sound. That didn't sound like 2 3/4, huh? Sounded like three and a half.
They're getting it done, brother.
We'll also bring you a story from Myrtle Beach about 1,000 pounds of fish that were seized by the DNR.
That's crazy.
And
it's crazy.
You think DNR is going to have a big fish fry?
And they didn't even invite us.
Yeah, they did. Actually, and it's pretty cool because I mean, you know, they're doing a job,
right?
But when you seize 1,000 pounds of fish, seize 1,000 pounds of a very valuable resource, what do you do with it? I mean, you can't put it in an impound. So we'll talk about that.
Yeah, interesting.
Then during the second hour, Mr. Springer is going to bring us the latest in his long list of backstrap recipes.
Dude, let me tell you something. I was thinking of you when I done this recipe, because me and you always make fun of folks who eat Hot Pockets.
Yeah.
This is for the men of the world.
I never mentioned Upstate Pulse. I never mentioned Upstate Pulse. Not one time. In relation to Hot Pockets.
Deer Pockets, baby.
Deer Pockets.
Handmade from biscuits.
Could we make some? Could we make some and bring them to Alonzo and Chris?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe we could pop in and do a guest. We could do a guest. Bring the Hot Pockets down to Mom's basement.
That would be like water and oil mixing.
No, I'm sure we, you know.
Okay.
We'd have a lot to talk about the latest video games.
Yeah. Right? I'm sorry. I would be lost, my friend. Out of my league.
Yeah. Then we're going to talk with our buddy, Chris Wells, the bass chaplain. Chris is somewhere out of town. I think he's doing a revival.
And he's
somewhere.
Been through some stuff. I'm interested to see how he's doing
he
physically.
Yeah, he had a heart. What do you call it?
It's either a stent or something.
He had some work done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No more
good.
Bacon.
But he's
I
good.
Bet you that's the first thing his doctor told him. No more bacon.
No more bacon?
Yeah. Usually that's the case.
Yeah.
So my experience.
We'll talk with Chris, find out what's going on. Also, we got a story from CarolinaSportsman.com about 140 class deer that was killed near Pauline.
How close was that to you? That's the first thing that came to my mind. As a close fry.
For a minute, I thought it might be me, and then I was like, wait a minute. I didn't kill 140 class deer.
But as a close fly, that's pretty close.
15 minutes.
That's what I thought.
Just depends.
There's good genetics in that area.
Yeah.
If they're able to make it to that age.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the whole thing. And I think part of the story is it was killed on like 45-acre track.
Boom.
And that's always the common ingredient
where you got,
hadn't been hunted in 7 years or doesn't get hunted at all.
At all.
And there's a big boy in there hanging out.
And that's why he's there.
Yep. I know where there's a record book deer in Greenville County in a similar situation.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised
bit. On the outskirts of a neighborhood.
I would not surprise
it's
one
in Greenville
bit. Because it's amazing.
Yep.
Because I have learned over the years from the situation I'm in where I live.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's highly possible.
There's probably one over there, too.
He ain't that big, though.
He ain't that big? Not
the
yet.
The one that was getting that big?
Yeah.
He ended up as roadkill on freaking Reval Road. Some years back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then Springer's going to bring us the calendar of events.
Got some new ones and some ones. And
I know our buddy, the Bassin, what does she call it?
Go to Cabela's today.
What's she call herself?
Miss Martha Goodfella.
Good fishing, that's it.
Yeah.
I was going to say the Bassin gal.
You know, you got
good fishing.
You got a couple of really good people there today. You got Tom Mundy. I'll get into the details later. And you want to learn anything about crappie fishing and some of the stuff he does. And then Miss Martha can teach you how to drop shot. There you go.
And if you don't want to learn how to drop shot,
Santa Claus will be there today, too.
Santa Claus will be there, or she could just beat you with a stick.
Yeah, true enough. But she hollered at me this morning.
Then our
on Facebook.
Parting shot for today is going to be the one about the alligator.
Well, it was
We're
a toss-up.
One about
I was going to let you. Okay.
We're going to do a parting shot today about an alligator in a hot tub.
That's my people right there, baby.
There you go. So,
how you doing?
Hey, started out this morning. Man, I tell you what, it's been rainy the last three Fridays,
golly,
which I was really excited about because the two Fridays ago, I had like a stellar weekend.
Right, you did.
And, you know, it rained, and then it stopped, and then the deer started moving, and PG started whacking and stacking.
That's my boy.
Say. But last Friday, nothing. I think I might have saw a couple of deer. And then Sunday, a boat girl and I went and hunted. She saw like 15 deer. I saw nothing. And it went out this weekend after the rain and saw one deer right after dark. I mean, and it was like, you know, creeping around like it was nervous and everything.
I wonder why.
And then saw one deer this morning. So the Upstate Outdoors blog talking about the lockdown. You know, whether you believe in the lockdown or not, boy, the evidence sure points to it this year.
And as we will get into the blog, there's combinations that goes with that lockdown, too. There's several, you know.
Well, there's no doubt that the rut is going on.
Right.
I actually did we talked last week about chronic wasting disease and using doe urine and the fact that it, you know, that it might be made illegal in the next year or so. And I happened to look up on the shelf in the cabin, and I had an old bottle of Tank 69.
I said, that's the standby, baby.
I said, I'm going to take that with me this morning.
Right.
And so I'm walking down old muddy road, and I get you know, probably within a couple of hundred yards of the stand, I start squirting it and rubbing my feet in it.
Right.
And then, you know, I take about 10 steps. And that's what I always do. I count off 10 steps because, you know, it's so muddy and everything.
Yeah, sure it is.
And then I sprinkle a few more drops, and then I rub my foot in it and take 10 more steps. So I did that halfway. Well, actually, to the stand that I was hunting in, it's got a food plot. So I did it halfway to the food plot where limbs overhanging, and then I rubbed all the mud off of my boots. Under that limb. And then I put it in a little hang-up.
Yeah.
You know, a little scent drip.
Sure.
And I was a little bit upset because I was late. Because, you know, the time change has screwed the deer hunting up. I mean, you know, it's screwed the deer hunters up.
That's more the case.
But so anyway, so I got in the stand late, and I'm sitting here, and then the fog rolls in, and I'm peering, you know, through the fog down there, and I'm like, daggummit.
It's a deer.
Here comes that boy. It's a big body deer, but it's like about a 4-point, and he walk a couple of steps, put his head down and sniff exactly in my footprint.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
It's amazing to watch when that comes together.
And
like
then on
that.
My way out, when I had to leave the stand going to the radio show, on my way out, I watched, and he picked up my scent. our tracks, you know, because it's so muddy walking down a dirt road, our tracks converged 100 yards away. He had followed me in from 100 yards away.
Wow.
You know, he was crossing that road, and he picked up my trail and followed my trail for 100 yards.
That's cool, man.
So it's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to our break. When we come back, we'll talk about the Upstate Outdoors blog and the lockdown.
Right here, Upstate Outdoors 106.3 WORD. Philip Gentry and Tommy Springer, stay tuned. We're going to tell you what the deer are not doing right after these messages.
Take me down, Paradise City, where the grass is green and the girls are
pretty.
Pretty, that's it. I knew it rhymed with pretty or something. Speaking of pretty girls,
brr.
If you're a deer, that's what's on your mind. Not even just pretty girls.
Any girl. If she got four legs, it's good,
that's
man.
That's right. If you're, let's not go there. All right, so the Upstate Outdoors blog today is entitled Hunting the Lockdown. If there was a halftime in deer hunting, that time would be now. The white-tailed deer season has been open, depending on which game zone you identify with, since either mid-September, the 1st of October, or back during the middle of the summer in mid-August.
That's still just
my welcome to South Carolina, folks.
Yeah, bingo.
Now, many upstate deer hunters have a phrase for the middle of November. It's affectionately known as the lockdown. The reference is to the 1 or 2 week period when sightings and encounters with bucks in the woods has slowed down dramatically or come to a screeching halt. Now, the term lockdown is used to describe the period of peak breeding for white-tailed deer. Generally, the entire breeding cycle can be broken down into the pre-rut, the seeking-chasing phase, the peak rut, that's the lockdown, and the post-rut. Come to think of it, I could just describe a lot of marriages with the same.
If you think about it really hard.
If you look at it, actually, a lot of relationships kind of fall into the the post-rut. Yeah. Post-rut occurs in a marriage right after the wedding cake is eaten. Okay? Now, the suggested reason for this reduction in buck sightings, but not necessarily deer sightings, is because the peak of the rut is occurring and bucks are holding tight to females, especially mature females, that have quit running from the rutting bucks and decided it's time to breed. Again, the whole analogy with the human relationship is pretty astounding there. Now, it's essentially the only time in the real-life deer world that even slightly resembles the beloved Disney movie Bambi. You know, Bambi was a mule deer. Researching that, I didn't realize that.
You know what Bambi was? A good backstrap biscuits meal. That's what Bambi was.
Well, in the movie Bambi, the great prince of the forest is closely attuned to Bambi's mother's needs and won't stray from her side, and even Bambi might get a kick to the head if he doesn't learn to stay out of the bedroom. Shoot, I just cut it off. The existence of a lockdown is made under the assumption that all deer in a given area are breeding at the same time. Now, years of age data from wildlife biologists would support this to a certain degree. Many years of deer reproductive data indicate that the peak breeding time is from mid-October to mid-November for the bulk of the state. That's according to Charles Ruth, our buddy, the Deer Project Coordinator for South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. Now, approximately 80% of the females examined over all years conceived during the period of October 6th through November 16th. More specifically, the last week of October and the first week in November represent the peak, right? And that's where we are, right here.
Pretty much.
With the average doe conceiving on or about October 30th. Of course, there's a bell-shaped distribution of breeding dates around the average date. Now, other deer hunters say the lockdown is merely a myth made up by unsuccessful hunters as an excuse for too much hunting pressure in the same handful of stands and at the same predictable times of day. The other philosophy is that there is not a hard and fast rut, but that deer are prone to breed at any time and at all times from late September through the end of winter. And spring or go along with that end of winter part?
I will in certain cases, yes, sir.
Now, the suggestion is made by hunter observation of fawns from the same year class with decided age gaps. You ever seen that? You ever seen two age class fawns where one of them looks like, so you'll have some fawns that still have spots on them.
Yeah, yeah,
and absolutely. Then you'll have a later year fawn that almost looks like a mature deer.
Absolutely.
You know, no spots or anything. Now, Ruth does offer the bell curve behavior for explanation of why you kind of have that, and also states that rutting activity varies based on what part of the state you're in. Now, our studies show that the peak breeding along the immediate coast occurs from October 1st through November 1st. However, over most of the state, and he's talking about game zone 2, it occurs from October 15th through November 15th. Then you have a later rut up in the mountains in game zone 1 in the northwest part of the state, and it peaks between November 15th and December 15th. So it's not unusual if you're watching something like Carolina Sportsman webpage where they start seeing all these big deer. Because my experience is most of these big deer are killed during the chasing phase, not the peak breeding phase, because like I said, they're not moving around much.
Right.
But you'll start to see big deer being killed down in the lower part of the state, you know, 1st of October, late September, and then, you know, the big deer that are killed here in the upstate, game zone 2, are, you know, late October, 1st of November.
Agreed.
And then I guarantee you, next month, or starting about now in the next week, you'll hear of one or two really nice deer being killed up in the mountains. Because it's nearly a statistical impossibility that all deer are breeding at the same time, the best method to increase your trophy buck encounters is to change your hunting strategy. You want to closely monitor your trail cameras as well as change the camera locations. You want to get near heavier cover.
I would agree with that.
You want to get near the bedroom.
I want to get in the thick stuff.
That's right. And you want to try to reestablish buck movement patterns and then pick a stand location that will allow you to intercept that buck during legal shooting times. You know, somewhere maybe between the bedroom and the bathroom.
10-4.
Right? Or the bedroom and the kitchen.
Yeah.
Okay? Because he ain't going to move a whole lot.
No, he's not.
But he's still got to eat and still going to get up and move around just a little bit. Now is also the time to use the rutting tricks as well, and we talked about that earlier in the show. More aggressive calling, the doe and estrus attraction sense, I saw firsthand how that worked this morning, and even rattling. Now, if you're seeing does, and make sure that these are not immature button bucks that you're seeing, or yearling does, you're probably in as good a location as possible. Now, I also want to talk about that for a second, because here's what happens. You get a lot of orphans this time of year.
Yes, you do.
Because people are killing does.
Yep.
Or they have killed does earlier in the season, and those does had two fawns. You know, and that's fine if you kill a doe. You can't kill a doe until after September 15th. Okay. But when you do, the two fawns that were with her, the one or two fawns that are with her, they really just kind of wander around with that lost look on their face.
Yes, they do.
They'll pick up with another group.
Right.
I've seen that. You ever seen a doe that's had like four fawns with her? And you're like, there's no way she had those
two. I have seen
that,
but it's been quite some time.
They'll kind of group back together, and then, you know, then they kind of figure it out. And then also button bucks or little spikes. I mean, you'll see them just wandering around.
At any time of the day.
That's what I think I saw this morning was probably a big, dumb spike. And, you know, he's like, I recognize that. I just, you know.
Not sure what to do.
That smells good, you know, kind of thing. I think I'll follow that.
Right.
But you got a lot of those immature bucks who have had their butt kicked because, like I said, you know, they were messing around with old Big Boy.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, look, you was kind of cool hanging out with you this summer. But, you know.
And another thing I'd like to add to this, it would be amazed if some people would realize just how small of a patch of cover a deer, a mature buck, can hold up in during daylight hours this time of the year.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it doesn't take, especially if it's really thick, briar infested, small pines.
Yep.
It's amazing. It doesn't even have to be what, Philip? I would say,
an acre.
That's
half
what
an
I
acre.
Was going to say. Bingo.
I mean, as long as you've got enough cover. And the whole thing about that is if he's in the company of a hot doe,
right.
He's going to stay there.
He's going to stay right
if
there.
If that's in the median of an interstate.
And as we get later into the season and this whole rutting thing really trickles down, he'll do the same thing again.
Yep. He'll go back to moving around because sooner or later, a suitor will come calling.
Exactly.
So that's the Upstate Outdoors
blog.
That's
a great one,
Phillip. Can get that by going to our website at 1063WORD.radio.com. And in the meantime, let's go to our break. We'll call our buddy Bart Littlejohn from Carolina Farmer Wildlife Supply when we get back.
Right here on Upstate Outdoors, 1063WORD. Tommy Springer, Phillip Gentry, bringing you the outdoors to you live every Saturday. Stay tuned.
Radar Love.
That's a great song.
Getting back to Springer's dilemma that we promised before we went to the Upstate Outdoors blog, morning dove season. I guess that's the second season.
Right.
The morning dove came in this morning they can hunt it. This is the first time that they can hunt it.
It may have been.
At daylight.
Okay, well, they were hammering them.
Duck season.
Okay.
Does not open until next weekend.
Yeah. Well, that's what threw me off then.
Yeah, speaking of which.
It was in the direction of the river, so that's what.
Speaking of which, our resident expert on what season it is.
Right.
Is on the phone with us, Bart Littlejohn from Carolina Farm and Wildlife Supply. Bart, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, man, thank you very much. How are y'all today?
Doing great, Bart.
Springer was talking about, first thing this morning, he heard pow, 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 pow down on the river, and I went, wait a minute.
And I did, Bart. I did.
I said, it's not duck season.
Matter of fact, the dog I was letting out, and she gets spooked when I got one that don't care, one that just runs for cover. She about ran back through the back door when it started going off, but, I just wasn't sure what was going on. But something was going on, and obviously it was that.
So we didn't miss it. I know we've had our dates off, but we didn't miss it.
Okay, good.
Yep, we got one more weekend on that one.
Okay.
Yep. You been out scouting for any ducks, Bart?
I have not here in South Carolina. I got a couple buddies out west that scout for us out there, but I've been slack this year on the ducks here, unfortunately. Been concentrating more on the four-legged critters than I am on the winged critters.
Yeah.
Well, how's that been going?
It's been going pretty good. I was listening to the show a minute ago and pretty much consistent with what y'all were talking about. The lockdown is upon us. So not seeing quite as much buck movement as we normally do, but that's par for this time of year for sure.
Well, I kind of skated over how to kind of get around the lockdown because, it is deer season and you can kill good deer anytime during deer season. But what would be your suggestion if somebody's a lot of folks go out and they're hunting the same stands over and over and over, and a lot of folks are hunting over corn, and I can attest, I'm not seeing, even the corn that I'm putting out is still there, whereas 2-3 weeks ago it was gone. So what's the solution?
I think there's a couple different ones you have to try, and it obviously is properties specific, but I personally, this time of year, I get to, like you were talking about earlier, to the thickest, just nastiest cover I can find and hunt the edges of it. And usually stay in that area because, the more you move around on a property, the less likely you are to see, to see a buck that's going to be in one specific area.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be held up tight. They're going to be in cover. I'd stay on, creek bottom areas is pretty good this time of year, historically for me anyways. And the corn, I think in the next week or so, you'll start to see more corn activity just because the acorns are going to start rotting and get, we're getting a little bit moisture and cold weather. It's going to turn those acorns rotten pretty quick.
And that, that's something that you're hunting in Spartanburg County, Union County, kind of somewhere in game zone too?
Yep, definitely. A little on the border of Spartanburg Union.
Have you seen a lot of acorns this year, Bart? Because my experience over where I'm at in Union County is I have not, of course, I never do really, but I've not seen much in the way of acorns this year at all.
Yeah, it was definitely not a bumper crop by any means. I think it was below average. I don't know what the actual crop was, data wise, but I did not see very many. I saw, pin oaks, they dropped early. They were pretty decent, but your white oaks and red oaks, I did not see very many of those dropping at all this year.
I'd agree with that.
It was tough in the acorn hollers this year to try to hunt those like I normally would. It wasn't there. I don't know. I don't have a reason why, but it wasn't there this year.
And the philosophy behind that, when you have a poor acorn crop, is, well, that's good because deer got to move more, cover more territory looking for food. And so you see more deer movement as opposed to when you got a bumper crop and they don't have to move. But, you know, there's some back and forth on that.
Absolutely. I think you can see a lot of the deer movement this year, especially deer that have been harvested. I've got several customers that have come in. You can kind of see how it correlates with the lack of acorns this year. You're getting guys that are killing deer from, you know, 4, 5, 6 hunt clubs down the road from them that normally, you know, they don't transfer or, you know, travel that far between properties.
Yeah.
And I think it's strictly because, one, you know, like you said earlier, too, they're in the chase phase, but they're also searching for better food sources.
Yeah. Both of the deer I've killed so far were—they smelled like corn pops. When you
he did good. He's done good, Bart. I mean, you know, we went through about 3 weeks where we were struggling. Yeah. You know, I was basically having to let Philip cry on my shoulder, and I prayed. You know, I know that sounds crazy, but I prayed and I said, man, you know, come on, cuz Phil, that deer, either that deer was not meant to be killed or a miracle's going to happen.
And I got to tell you this story. I was headed down on two Fridays ago. And did I stop in by the store or did I text you, Bart? I can't remember. Now, I think I stopped in.
Yeah, you came in.
And so I did the same thing. I was, of course, Bart wasn't as sympathetic as me. He told me to pull my panties up and dry your eyes.
And good for you, Bart.
But he said, hey, with this rain, I would go to some really thick stuff. And if you got a food source in there, you know, that might be a good place to try. And I texted him later on with 7 on the ground, and
with the big smile of and holding the horns of the picture, that was good.
Yeah. I mean Bart, that deer got shot at 3 times within a span of
3 weeks.
3 weeks,
he got
dude.
Shot at once a week. So I went to a different stand where he'd never been shot at before.
Unreal. And
finally, I already came to the conclusion that deer was deaf.
Hey, whatever it takes, I'll go with it. But,
wow.
hey, what about, you know, a lot of folks have been in the store and, they're looking for, it's the rutting, the rut is going on now. Are you selling a lot of, rattling antlers and, some, you know, grunt calls and stuff? What would be some good rutting tricks that folks could use?
You know, yeah, we're, you know, grunt calls, that's a staple. That's always a good seller, and it's good to use a grunt call. I don't, you know, you don't want to use it too much this time of year. You know, rattling horns, though, it's funny. Most people steer away from it because they don't think, you know, our deer respond to it like they would, you know, out west in Ohio or Illinois, place like that. I, in my personal experience, I do rattle a little bit, and I think it does work. You don't want to be overzealous with it and sound like there's two, you know, 160-inch deer going at it, but doing a little bit of rattling, a little bit of grunting, it definitely works. It will bring you some bucks sometimes. Does it work every time? No, absolutely not. But it's something else to try. If everything else isn't working, take a rattling bag out there and give it a shot. It can't hurt you. But a lot of estrus is being sold right now, whatever your brand is. Personally, I like the Doc deer scent estrus that we sell. It's called Love Potion, and it works pretty good. But yeah, you know, your grunt calls, your rattling bags and estrus, that's what's being sold right now. That's what most people are going after, as well as corn, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. I love that corn call. You just pour it out on the ground and it calls silently.
Wow. That's right. That's the easiest call in the world.
Yeah, that's it. But, what about, if folks have planted winter food plots, when would you expect, I guess, as soon as we come out of this lockdown, is probably when you'll start to see deer, you're really hitting the food plots hard.
Yeah. And again, it's property specific. You know, if you're in a clear cut area and you've got food plots in the middle of clear cuts, I think you'll probably see more activity. You're probably seeing activity now.
Yeah.
But if you're in just, you know, big, wide open, you know, mature pines and clear cut or in food plots in those pines, probably not as much activity now. I think that'll transition within the next 10 days for sure.
Yeah, with this cold weather that's coming in,
definitely.
That's usually what kicks them in.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, what I'm doing right now, I'm getting out of my hardwood stands, and I'm slowly getting over to, you know, maybe bedding area stands and clear-cut properties. I'm getting in, you know, food plots in the clear-cut. But most of your hardwood hunting, I think it's over and done with, unless you just happen to catch one coming across a ridge.
And until we get a really, really hard frost or freeze, there's still some natural forage in real thick areas as well.
Yep.
There's still some greenery.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And most of, well, depending on what you plant in your food plots, most of you guys are putting some type of brassica or, you know, a leafy type plant in those food plots, and they don't really start hitting those until a good frost hits them.
Right.
And that's when you'll start to see a lot more forage on those actual plants. Is when we get, you know, one or two good frosts, which we're going to get it this weekend.
Yes.
If you're going to be in the stand, you better put your big boy clothes on.
There you go. You got hand warmers?
I'm going to need to stop. Hand warmers, foot warmers, heated socks, you name it.
She don't like to wear socks, but I'm going to have to get some hand warmers for Boat Girl, because she's already been wearing her bibs and her parka just hunting on 60-degree days, because she don't like the cold weather. But she says she's going to stick it out as long as she can hunting in the afternoons.
Well, you'll get the experience this weekend. I can promise you that.
Roger that.
That's it. Might have to get a heater buddy, right?
Yeah.
Put the heater buddy in the box stand.
That's a little. That's cheating there.
Yeah. Well,
Boat Girl's worth it, Bart.
I got a buddy of mine took his laptop last weekend. He was watching the football on the laptop with earbuds, and he was like, I saw 21 does and 4 bucks and killed a hog later on. He said, don't tell me what I can't take in a stand. I was
bingo.
Like, hey, depends on where you hunt.
That's right. Exactly right.
Well, Bart, if folks want to come down and hang out with you guys, learn more about deer hunting and definitely buy some deer hunting some supplies or cooking supplies or about anything else, you got a big supply of corn down there, how can they locate you and find you?
Yep, we're right off of Highway 56. 2640 down in a little town, Pauline. You can't miss us. Big Red Barn, and we're open Tuesday through Saturday, 8 to 6. So you're welcome to come down and chew the fat with us, or come down and see what we got.
Awesome, Bart Littlejohn, Carolina
Absolutely.
Farm and Wildlife Supply. Great, Bart. Thanks for sponsoring the show.
Absolutely,
and always good to talk with you.
Yes, sir. Good luck if y'all get to go this weekend.
All right, you too, Bart. Take care, brother.
Thank you, man.
Good guy.
Pauline, South Carolina. We're going to have a story about a 140-inch deer that was killed in Pauline.
And probably ate some of Carolina Farm and Wildlife corn.
Might have. Or might have got hit on Highway 56.
Maybe. Right here, Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD. Tommy Springer, Phillip Gentry. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
That's kind of like disco,
dude.
For you, isn't it?
Yeah, whatever that was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a disco guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
News from the Grand Strand. More than 1,000 pounds of fish were seized in Little River by the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. This has been on several different news sources, but I got this from MyrtleBeachOnline.com. A pair of fishermen caught operating without permits near Little River were forced to surrender more than 1,000 pounds of fish. Both of the men were aboard the vessel on October 27th, stationed near Waterfront Avenue, were unable to produce proper permits or licenses when asked to do so by officers with the Department of Natural Resources, according to a release from the department. So basically, they're commercial fishing.
Without a license.
Without a commercial license. Department spokeswoman Kaylee Larimore, she's the new one that took over Kendall's.
Yes.
Kendall McConkie's job, said 9 different types of fish, including sea bass, snapper, mackerel, and grouper, were seized. She added that the cobia and yellow snapper on board were out of season. So they were just going for broke, right?
Yeah.
Neither man was the owner of the vessel, and Lara Moore said she didn't know what their relationship was with the owner. They were issued a total of 5 citations and 1 warning, with fines totaling more than $3,000. Officers found that about 25% of the fish had already been unloaded and iced for sale. and about 240 pounds had been delivered to a local restaurant whose staff unknowingly took possession of the illegal catch, according to the release. The restaurant, which Larimore?
I think that's how I would pronounce it, Philip.
She declined a name, was allowed to buy the fish from the department at fair market value rather than department seizing the delivered fish. And we talked about that at the opening of the show is, you know, okay, so you got this...
water fish.
Well, you got this water fish, and you got this breach in the law, and, you know, so... What are you going to do? You're going to put all of them in a – you got no freezer anywhere for 1,000 pounds of fish, and it's going to go bad. So, I mean, they got to do something. So what they try to do is they, you know, then DNR becomes in the fish business.
Right.
So they're like, well, if you bought the fish, that's fine, but we're taking the money. So the money goes to DNR to be
held. And then they should have took the fish and donated it to food banks.
Well, no, I mean, they can't charge the people. They can't charge a restaurant for the fish.
Right, well, okay.
And then keep the money.
Right.
So the rest of the fish, which the officer seized, were eventually sold to the owner of the vessel.
Wow.
Okay.
Double whammy.
Who had a wholesale, he did have a wholesale dealer's license and an Horry County business license, according to the release. So it's kind of like, well, all right, look here. We're going to seize the fish, but we're going to give them back to you, but you're going to give us the money for it.
Yeah.
And then they hold that. The money paid to the department will be held until after the trial and forfeited to the department if the men are found guilty.
Which they should
be found guilty. Well, I mean, you know, everybody's innocent until proven guilty.
But what are they going to do? And let me
iterate
here. This is not just a drive-by problem. This goes on a lot.
Yep.
Okay, it goes on the East Coast, and they have a problem big time with it on the Gulf Coast. Okay,
yep.
And you know, you start getting into the cobia, and I mean, we already problem.
Who doesn't know that cobia are not in season?
Bingo,
now, right?
Somebody who don't care.
It's obviously just like, hey, I don't care. Let's just load them up. And I would kind of find that
a cobia ain't nothing but $100 bill floating in the water. That's all it is to these guys.
Yep.
So. It's bad. I've seen it now on East Coast as well as Gulf Coast.
Yep.
It's just not good.
And they're talking about, especially, man, which I don't know why anybody would want to try to sell a mackerel to eat anyway, but.
Hey, hush up over there. I mean, you know, if it's a Spanish mackerel, I can see.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, king mackerel. Yeah. Oh, man, what are y'all doing? Bait?
Maybe they got a great recipe for smoked mackerel dip. I don't know.
You're making fertilizer?
You dog
or what,
out
buddy?
My king mackerels, don't you?
Huh?
Oh, you dog out my kings. But
no,
it's okay.
I told you.
But, you know, and you say, well, how do they get. Look, the DNR and everybody else is already stretched thin, okay?
Yeah.
And you got all these boats coming and going. And then these restaurant owners and stuff, they're assuming that they're legit.
Yeah.
And they're just buying great fresh fish at a great price.
Yeah.
You know, which is going to help them in the long term. So, you know, it can get a mess in a hurry.
Yeah. You never know what the actual details of the story are.
I'm just going from what I've seen in my day.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just.
Well, and then we can open a whole nother can of worms where you start talking about commercial fishing versus recreational fishing, why the limits are this.
I mean, we can do a whole two-hour show on that jive.
But we don't have but an hour left because we're going to the top of the hour with the news, and we'll be right back after the break.
Right here, Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD. Tommy Springer, Philip Gentry, taking a news break on the backside. Get you some. Hi.